Good morning, everyone. Eric Perez, Chief Executive Officer of the Queensland Seafood Industry Association. I'm joined this morning by a good friend of mine and a local commercial fisher here in Moreton Bay, Greg Savage. How are you, Greg?
Pretty good, thanks, Eric.
Look, appreciate you joining us today. We've recorded an interview with Keith Harris regarding VMS, and he's given us a few different perspectives, so I thought it'd be great to get the perspective of another commercial fisher more towards the southern end of the Queensland coast for a perspective on VMS. So just broadly speaking, what are you hearing from industry around the implementation of VMS, Greg?
I think mainly, Eric, one of the problems is the unknown. We haven't really, I don't think, fully been made aware of some of the problems we're going to come up with in the net fishing. I'm a net fisherman, inshore net fisher. Things like if a boat sinks, just little things that's going to impede our operations while we have the VMSs on. So it's questions that need answering. Some of the other questions I've been asked with fishers is relating to the costs. It's adding more to our bottom line, the costs of our fishing operations, and it's going to put the price of fish up, local fish up more.
So from your perspective in your operation, how is VMS going to impact you, if you can share that with the listeners?
I'm a multi-endorsed fisher. I have different endorsements. I have quite a large number of small fishing vessels, up to 6 metres. Each one has a different net for a different species of fish. I sometimes work 24 hours a day, sometimes 2 hours a day, but I need the flexibility to change vessels. Like I might be at Moreton Island for half a day, and I come up, go up to Bribie Beach, I've got to change my VMS over to what I can gather at the moment. It's got to be done within working hours. DPI don't work the same hours I do. That's one of the problems I'm going to encounter.
Oh, okay. Are they asking for a separate VMS in each of your vessels or just the one?
At the moment, just the one, which can be transferred from vessel to vessel. I've been told that I should probably buy a spare in case that breaks down, because it's just a joke, really. You know, it breaks down, sort of. It's not the way it should happen. That's not how to do business.
Okay. So the other issue that's been raised by commercial fishermen up and down the coast has been the degree to which our information will stay confidential. So I'm assuming yourself as second or third generation commercial fisher?
Yeah, I'm third, and we've got the fourth one in line ready.
Okay, so as a third generation fisher, I would assume, and knowing how long you've been in the fishery, that you have developed your spots where you fish over that period of time. Are you feeling that same level of angst around the confidentiality of your information?
Yeah, I definitely do. You know, what was a way of life has become a large, successful business with me. How can I plan ahead, you know, with certainty, with the possibility of more closures, higher unknown costs, and all my knowledge of where and when I target different species of fish, it puts them all at risk. What other businesses are managed like this?
Okay, so if I'm hearing you correct, are you putting the emphasis on that on our fisheries managers as the cause for this? Because the reason I ask this is that we've been getting, as in me, particularly in this office, get a lot of feedback that the consultation process around VMS was not really consultation. It was more, it's coming in and we will fund the cost of the initial units, but the polling costs go to you. And then any other associated costs you just have to wear as a function of doing business. Has that been your experience?
Yes, definitely. But all jokes aside, Eric, why do we have to pay the government? Why do we have to pay for the costs of the EMSs when logbooks have worked for 20 years now? We're paying for the government, which is what they want, not we want. For information. No, I don't see that it's not a fair playing field, really. They want it, we don't. They should pay for it.
Yeah, okay. So the counter argument for them will be, well, it's just the way of the future, and we need to know, we need to have the ability to track you, because necessarily they don't believe what's in the logbooks. I mean, this was a discussion I had with Keith, and I've been hearing this as well. This implementation of this technology is not about the sustainability of the fishery, because just being able to track where you fish does not give an indication of what you're catching. It's purely a compliance tool. So to some degree, do you believe that fisheries managers trust us, or is it something else? I'm not sure.
Well, I feel a bit, in other words, untrusted, but, you know, my logbooks, I keep a diary. In my diary, I've got the fish I catch. It goes into receival. I catch it, I write it down, I sell it, I get a receival docket, then I get paid. I get another docket when I get paid. So then I pay my workers off that, and my diary, who's there for the day. I actually didn't do my tax off those figures as well. So I have been ordered by the taxation department, and I was out 1 cent.
did they chase you for that cent?
No, they just said, I wish every fisherman was like this.
Oh, okay.
I've just lost your photo, but if this is about compliance, fisheries officers must be inadequate in the way they do their job if they need this kind of assistance to do their jobs, all I've got to say.
Okay, sure. Broadly speaking, and again, this was questions we put to Keith, what other concerns do you have around VMS that we haven't already covered?
One thing I think, Eric, is that the fines are far too high. You know, like, I think it's just astronomical that we could be fined this amount of money. You know, they're talking about jail time as well for something, if the fishery is sustainable, except the snapper. They think it might be too much pressure, but that's mainly from the wrecks. I just think it's a bit overkill. You know, with the fines, I've written a couple of notes here. I'll just go through them quickly for a refresher.
Yeah, no worries. As you're finding them, that was brought up in our submissions and others to the review of the Fisheries Act, that the quantum of fines is something to be, I guess, discussed. But obviously, government is coming in pretty hard to make sure that people are compliant. It would be nice if they put this much effort into trying to stop things like black marketeering. They seem to be hell-bent on introducing VMS. It would be nice to see that in other areas. Now, one of the things that has also been brought up is, if VMS is good enough to track our effort, our movements in the fishery, then in fisheries where we have contested access to the resource, so where there are recreational fishers taking the same species, why aren't they being monitored using VMS?
Exactly right. And they say that if they've got a fine or something, they just say, we'll have a VMS. But there are options, you know, with these phone apps. Fisheries could declare what they catch when they come to the boat ramp. They could set a system up where they know exactly what the fishers take, recreational fishers, and I think they'll be very frightened when they find the true numbers. It's all make-believe, you know. I know they've done some phone surveys and different surveys, but they haven't been anywhere near as accurate as our logbooks have been.
Yes, but Greg, haven't you read the Parliamentary Committee's report that said this fisheries reform process is predicated on evidence-based work? So it seems they get, the department wants a lot of evidence from industry, but aren't prepared to do the same with recreational take, which is the whole gist of trying to get reform. If you read their reform document, reform is not just on us, it should be on all users of the marine resource, but it doesn't seem to be going that way. But I don't want to get too far off topic, so again, the VMS question, any other issues you'd like to bring up?
Yeah, there is one. Are we going to be harassed, knowing where we are 24/7? My whole livelihood depends on the way of fishing locations being unknown to other fishers. Fisheries officers, they do talk. The fines are too high on our half. That's not on their half. You know, they talk. other fishers. Who wears greed catching fishies? I see him with a ton of this or half a ton of that. It's open to abuse like you wouldn't believe, and so easily. And the fines aren't anywhere near good enough for those as they are, as fisheries officers, they are for us. This is just, I just see it's all being too rushed too quickly, Eric. We could have been given the opportunity to have a trial and iron some of these bugs out. I'm not against VMS, used properly and done the correct way.
Yeah, okay. And that also speaks to some of the views across fishermen, from not wanting it at all to we could live with it if it was introduced in the right way, if some of the teething problems would be ironed out. And the other particular issue that's been brought up was the ongoing costs to the commercial fishermen, because for those that fish in the deeper waters that may need to buy new satellite phones or other technologies to be able to implement the VMS, none of that was discussed in the implementation of this technology, nor more broadly has cost on industry been a focus of the reform process overall. So we know things are going to happen, but implications for us aren't really there. And again, fishermen being fishermen and talking about what all this means, we're the ones aren't being asked to wear the costs on a business level. If you're a recreational fisher, you're not out plying a trade. You're out fishing for leisure. It's not your business. And for those in the conservation movement and others that want more restrictions on us, it's not their livelihood. It's our livelihood. So that's been a key focus of this VMS thing, is just more additional costs at a time when we don't really need them. Are you hearing anything like that?
You're exactly right, but one thing that is lacking here, Eric, is 80% of the population, the community, buy fresh seafood of some sort. They're being left out of this whole equation. You know, I sit around the table at this last new meeting, the Moreton Bay Management Committee. There's no one there to represent the recreational fishing fraternity, the buyers, the community.
Yeah.
They're going to be told, you know, we're going to have another $1,000 or $2,000 a year and your fish prices are going to go up. They're going to jump up and down. They don't want increased fish prices. Our family have a shop which employs 28 staff. Imagine the sign going up, we're going to have to put the fish prices up. The government wants VMS. The government going to introduce other things that are going down the track, you know, quota, et cetera, et cetera. Your fish are going to get dear. The community should be on some of these groups voicing their opinion and the fact they do not want increased fish prices, and they want access to fresh local fish.
Yeah, okay. No, I understand that. And that was part of the mantra that government was trying to sell to us as part of the reform process, that the community was screaming out for a reform of our fisheries. I think the community that they're referring to are the conservationists and other groups, not necessarily the fish buying community. And yeah, that's a perennial issue for us, because how do you get an advocate for the consumer? You would have thought that might have been government, but the department sees itself primarily as a fisheries regulator, not an industry development organisation. So how do you get the consumer's voice into these discussions? It's never been discussed, because it seems to be all too hard, from what I can see, not being a commercial fisher from the outside. How do you get the consumer involved?
Well, I've got different ideas, and I think we're going to have to progress with some of them a lot more quicker than what I would have imagined, because we need the help of the community to keep us in a sustainable job, which we do, catching fish on their behalf. I can see it diminishing fairly quickly with the present government and the power of the Greens with them. I think we're going to be struggling in, you know, for another generation to do what I'm doing.
And it's just sad that this is the potential costs and availability of local fish is under jeopardy, primarily because of the introduction of this kind of technology and the reform process more broadly. But I'd like to talk more on that, about the consumer, on another podcast. So look, Greg, thanks for your time. I appreciate that you're busy and getting prepared to go out and do some more fishing. So thanks for your time, and we'll catch you on the next podcast.
Okay, thanks very much, Eric.
Cheers. You.